This is the son of PCJ.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, The Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio International. I'm Keith Pallon. And as always, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I don't know. Well, anyway, it is, of course, always nice to have you with us. And this week was a very interesting week. As I mentioned before, usually the month of February and March here in Taiwan, it's absolutely dreadful. It's continuous rain. It's not extremely cold. Let's say like the kind of cold that you get in Europe or in North America at this time of year. It's maybe around 13, 14 degrees centigrade, sometimes 10. But it feels colder because of the rain. Well, we have been blessed over the last couple of days. And very unusual weather because it went up to 25. And beautiful sunny skies. It seems pretty much like a very beautiful spring day. And I have to be honest, usually at this time of year we get a lot more rain, but the weather has been odd this year because we haven't had as much rain over the last 3 months and as much cold as we did get, say, last year and the year before. So hopefully somebody said a prayer for us, and we're going to keep this weather for a little while longer. Mind you, it could mean that our summer is going to be absolutely dreadful. Mind you, it always is. You know, you live in air conditioning. That's the only thing I can say is you live in air conditioning. Well, anyway, coming up on today's program for this, the 2nd of March, 2013, we're going to continue our series of special program that we have looking at the history of Radio Nederland. We have two more installments to go. And then we're going to be doing our anniversary, not the anniversary of this show, but I'll tell you a little bit more about that after we take a listen to our first piece of music today. He is one of my favorite composers, singer, songwriter, the guy's done everything, Lou Reed, The Perfect Day, here on your program, Happy Station.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. And then later, when it gets dark, we go home. Just a perfect day. Feed animals in the zoo. Then later, a movie too, and then home. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep. Just a perfect day. Problems all left alone. Weekenders on our own. It's such fun. Just a perfect day. You made me forget myself. I thought I was someone else, someone good. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just just keep me hanging on. You just keep me hanging on. You're going to reap just what you sow.
Lou Reed, a perfect day beginning today's program. You know, a year ago today, in fact, I was at the DoubleTree Inn in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, in the United States for the 25th anniversary of the Shortwave Listeners Fest. But before I went to Plymouth Meeting for the fest, I spent one night in New York City, and around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I decided to take a walk around Times Square. And I know that's, people say, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning walking the city? Are you nuts? Actually, no, I have to be honest. I love walking in New York City at night. I really do. And I had this blasting in my iPhone, listening to it as I was walking around Times Square. And a lot of very, very interesting people that you'll see on the streets of New York at that time. Yes, I know that people say, oh, they shouldn't do that, but you know what? I personally love it because when you walk around a city like New York City at that hour, you get to experience a different side to the city. And I suppose, of course, any city is the same. It could be even here in Taiwan. I love walking in Taipei very, very early in the morning or very, very late at night because you see a part of the city that you normally would not see during the day. So it's quite fun. I also took some amazing pictures that night, and we'll share them with you one day on our website. Anyway, time now for more music. We're going to take a listen to the Chieftains playing with bluegrass musician Bella Fleck, and it's called Bella's Reel. It's three compositions that he wrote himself here on Happy Station. Thank you. Fleck and the Chieftains from an album called Down the Old Plank Road with a composition called Bella Fleck's Reels. Made up of three compositions that he wrote himself. An absolutely fantastic CD because it features, of course, one of the best Irish groups of all time, playing with some of the biggest names in bluegrass music like Alison Krauss, Martina McBride, Earl Scruggs, Bella Fleck, Ricky Skaggs, and others. I think we played something from this not too long ago, and I thought it would be nice to listen to today. Well, we're going to have another song, and then when we come back, we're going to be continuing our special series looking at the history of Radio Nederland. But first, here's... I think we have it ready. No, we don't have it ready. We do have it ready. I'm ready to go nuts if you don't get this ready. Little Peggy March, and I Will Follow Him.
Follow him. Ever since he touched my hand, I knew that near him I always must be, and nothing can keep him from me. He is my destiny.
Little Peggy March, I Will Follow Him. Well, we now continue our special series that we started running last month, looking at the history of Radio Nederland. It was a series that was produced for their 50th anniversary, and it's produced and presented by Pete Myers.
History tends to condemn the 80s as a heartless decade, a time when people who had it flaunted it, when unemployment grew and societies became self-centered and egotistical. But then, on the other hand, it was a great time for women. It was the decade when they finally became the men they wanted to marry. For the first time in history, after years of striving for equality, they took their cue from Betty Davis, forgot the moon, and reached for the stars. The arrival of the ladies in the 80s was to rejuvenate and refresh Radio Nederland's image. Symbolically, the age of the new woman began at the very top as the old Queen of the Netherlands abdicated in favor of her daughter and the reign of Queen Beatrix began. majestic music of Dutch composer Jurjaan Andriessen for a defining moment in our history. At the beginning of 1980, Queen Juliana, a popular and much-loved monarch, declared her intention to relinquish the throne. Saying that her strength was diminishing and that she could no longer perform her duties, she would lay down her function as head of state. On the morning of April the 30th, in an emotional ceremony at the Royal Palace on Dam Square, the Queen signed the act of abdication. Radio Netherlands' Harry Cliphouse had a privileged front seat to that moving moment.
She has the pen in her hand now, and there she flattens the paper out, and she has a little bit of hesitation here. The paper won't lie flat, and I'm sure it's also an expression of the emotion she must feel at this moment. And there the pen begins to scratch. The J has been put, and she now writes the rest of her name. And I can see that deep emotions assail the person who was our good queen, Queen Juliana, who now will be Princess Juliana. She will have the rank she had when she was born these 71 years ago.
Later that day in the Nieuwe Kerk, Juliana's eldest daughter, Beatrix, was inaugurated as the new Queen of the Netherlands. In Holland, we do not anoint or crown our monarchs. The most solemn moment occurs when the Queen swears an oath to uphold the constitution of the nation.
Ik zweer aan het Nederlandse volk dat ik de grondwet steeds zal onderhouden en handhaven.
I solemnly swear to the people of the Netherlands that I shall constantly preserve and uphold the constitution. I solemnly swear that I shall defend and preserve the territory of the state to the best of my ability. That I shall protect the general and specific freedoms and rights of all my subjects, and shall employ all means placed at my disposal by the law to support and promote the general and specific welfare as is incumbent upon a good king. So help me God.
Zo waarlijk helpen mij God Almacht.
De koningin is ingehuldigd.
Lieve de koningin.
Hoera!
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 And when it came to pomp and pageantry, let's face it, no one did it better than the British. A year into Beatrix's reign, a billion TV viewers focused on St. Paul's Cathedral and watched the wedding of the decade, when the Prince of Wales married the shy but blue-blooded kindergarten minder, Diana Spencer. It was the stuff of which fairy tales are made of, and from that moment, Diana's star was never far from a camera's lens. In retrospect, looking through the mirror of memory from my perspective today, the 80s, apart from being a period of profound social upheavals, was also the most surprising. I mean, no one anticipated the shocking murders of Anwar Sadat and John Lennon, the assassination attempt on the Pope in St. Peter's Square, the savagery of the civil war in Lebanon, or the mayhem of the mullahs in Iran. The Cold War grew frostier, and when NATO decided to deploy cruise missiles in Western Europe to counter similar Soviet rockets already deployed in the Eastern Bloc, the Dutch decided that enough was too much. As the Dutch government wavered about deployment, a 500,000 people staged a massive peace demonstration in Amsterdam to protest the arms race. In the United States, a grade B Hollywood actor transformed himself into a grade A Cold War warrior and Republican president. Ronald Reagan, the great communicator, was a master of the soundbite, and in a speech to the National Association of Evangelicals, he coined a phrase that was to stick to him throughout his political career.
To ignore the facts of history and the aggressive impulses of an evil empire, to simply call the arms race a giant misunderstanding, and thereby remove yourself from the struggle between right and wrong and good and evil.
A Exploring the music of the 80s is something I don't have the time to do in this chapter. After all, there was Madonna, there was Michael Jackson, Sting and The Cure. And long before the American public discovered this group from Dublin, Europe was acclaiming them as the band with a future. From their 84 album, The Unforgettable Fire, U2 and Pride.
One man come in the name of love.
Frankly, my overriding impression of rock and roll in the 80s is that it grew louder. The truth is that I grew older and less tolerant to noise. At Radio Netherlands English Service, there were three major developments in the 80s. Our programs became less music and entertainment driven and more informative. With the setting up of a professional newsroom and team, we could finally broadcast news and current affairs on a six-day basis.
Newsline, analysis and background reports with John Hammond.
Hello and welcome to the program.
And welcome also to the correspondents and journalists who brought us reports from all corners of the globe.
This is Shada Islam in Brussels.
This is Cameron Dodu in London for Radio Netherlands.
For Radio Netherlands, this is Hans de Vrij in Geneva.
For Radio Netherlands, this is Subri Govender in South Africa.
For Newsline, this is Mohammed Sulyadi reporting from Jakarta.
Just a few of the talented correspondents whose invaluable insights into global news enhanced our prestige in a competitive field. And then there was the second major change. In what was previously a male-dominated network, we guys cast aside our testosterone dominance and made way for the estrogen age. And I liked it too, as the women of the 80s asserted themselves and finally got their equal share on this network.
I'm a woman of the 80s, I'm thin and I'm strong. There ain't no situation where I don't belong. Too late for flowers, too soon for pills,
too soon for gin.
But I know where I'm headed, and I like where I've been.
Hello, I'm Veronica Wilson. I've had a very nice holiday and it's very nice to be back in my old chair.
Veteran Veronica from Sierra Leone was active presenting and producing Afrocine and Airtime Africa in the 80s. Then there was Tiny Dorothy Weirs, who produced a number of documentaries and hosted one of our earliest listener contact series, Over to You. A country girl at heart, she had a thing about cows.
Whenever I think of Kampen, I think of a full-sized model cow that's strung up in the high street there in summer. The story goes that there was grass growing on the tower, and the locals thought it would be a good idea to hoist a cow up to the top to eat the grass. So they strung a rope round the cow's neck and they pulled it up. But halfway it died. They'd hung it.
The well-hung cow that turned thousands into vegetarians. A lady who turned many a male head round this building during her spell on Newsline was Doom Porter.
Tuesday night, Democratic candidate Michael Dukakis conceded victory in the presidential election to Republican Vice President George Bush.
And from across the Atlantic came Ginger De Silva to Newsline and later various feature shows. Power dressing was all the vogue in the 80s, and it obviously impressed Ginger back then.
Queen Beatrix was radiant in a royal blue and black suit and hat to match. Next to her were Nellie Smit-Kuz, who's Minister of Transport, and she was dressed in a very stylish black and shocking pink suit. And the Queen's Commissioner for the province of Zeeland, Mr. Boertien, was there also. He was just in an ordinary suit.
And after Oz, you should have seen his heavy-duty black leather silver stud outfit. And then there was this familiar voice that came online in the 80s.
For the past few years, many people have asked if the Chinese leaders could sustain their efforts to create a market economy while refusing to grant new political freedoms.
Martha Hawley rose through the ranks from translator to presenter and producer, which is exactly what happened to Marijke van der Meer, one of our top documentary makers. Now, Marijke is a woman who diligently checks every fact, figure and name before she embarks on a project.
You are Raoul Jenner, and you're the chief liaison for Cambodia from UNESCO, is that correct?
Yes, but I'm not Raoul Jenner. I'm Richard Engelhardt.
I just spoke to Russian. You're Richard Engelhardt. I knew there was an R in there somewhere. Okay.
But I assure you, 99.9% of the time she gets it right. Toward the end of the 80s, Research File, our weekly science program, was launched under the guidance of Anne Blair Gould. Since the beginning of the decade, when we saw the potential threat of the AIDS virus to the globe, we embarked on a policy of discussing the dangers with a frankness that was unique on shortwave. Anne took it one step further with open discussions and medical insights that constantly preached the message of safe sex. At the time, prejudice and ignorance about AIDS was rife, not only among the heterosexual majority, but the homosexual minority as well. One of her memorable programs was the in-depth interview with American gay writer Randy Schultz, whose book, And the Band Played On, was a brilliant classic on the politics of AIDS in the United States.
In the early days, however, Schultz's articles in the San Francisco Chronicle did not endear him to the gay community, who resented his suggestions that the incidence of AIDS would be greatly decreased if homosexuals curbed their sexual activities.
My greatest critics were not in the Reagan administration, but in the gay community. I was referred to constantly in the gay newspapers as a gay Uncle Tom. I was a traitor. I had turned on the community that I was selling out sexual liberation. For a period of time, people said I shouldn't even write about AIDS because I was being an alarmist and it was bad public relations. It was giving the gay community a bad image. And this is in 1983, 1984, into early 85. By 85, it's changing. But in those first years, when we can look back now and through a number of studies, you can see that this is when the disease was spreading like crazy, when we could have done something, and we didn't.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. But sure.
The most important problem is giving food to the people and raising their standard of living. And closely linked with it is creating a new outlook in social life, in economic life, giving people education in the broader sense of the word, that is, making them receptive to new ideas.
The remarkable woman who governed the largest democracy in the world, India's Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. In 83, Radio Netherlands listeners voted her Personality of the Year. A few months later, she was gone, cut down by assassins' bullets. That she should capture the imagination of our listeners was due to our third major development, the opening of a regional service for Asia. I had the pleasure of launching it in 1980 with Mainstream Asia. And from the word go, we were able to bring listeners in Asia a glittering variety of subjects and personalities, ranging from princes, politicians, performers, to one possible candidate for sainthood, Mother Teresa.
I love God. How do I love God? I only say that I love God. That's not enough. That's not love. But because I love God and I want to put my love for God in a living action, then I serve the poor.
Mental attitude is the key factor, you see, to create more happiness or more calmness or more irritation or more agitation. Therefore, it is worthwhile, you see, to think more about, you see, human inner experience. It is good to make more available more different methods. Clear?
Not really, Your Holiness, but who am I to question the Dalai Lama? And then there was that epic poet of the far horizons.
When I first went to the movies, when I was a boy, in the suburbs of London, I used to go to the cinema, and I saw things like Nanook of the North. I saw the Arctic. I went to the South Seas, Moana. You know, it took me all over the world. Now, I have the kitchen sink and my own house. and I don't want to pay money to go and see it on the screen.
Director David Lean. A Passage to India was his last film. And before the state visit to India by Queen Beatrix and her husband Prince Klaus, the Prince, a champion of closer ties between our two countries, did his homework.
It was during this period leading up to the visit to India that I occupied myself a great deal with that country and that I had to change many of my prejudices based on ignorance. For India, so I found out, was not only a country of hungry people and misery, it was also a country which had made tremendous progress in the field of agriculture, industrial development, technology, development in higher education.
Mainstream Asia was such a success that India became our largest audience. When co-producer Bob Chaundy departed, I found the perfect partner in Mike Bullen. Together, we crafted Asia Scan, a twice-weekly live program that ran for a couple of years. Mike was a dab hand at getting scoops, and no one in Asia will forget his finest achievement on April the 1st, 1987.
Today on Asia Scan, a world exclusive, because since the beginning of this week, rumours have been reaching us here to the effect that a Yeti has not only been sighted in Nepal, but actually captured by a team of Indian mountaineers. The first time that the abominable snowman, as the Yeti is known, has been taken into captivity. Well, early this morning, I managed to track down the leader of the Indian team, Professor Ram Gopal, to their base camp at the foot of the K2 mountain. And there I spoke to him by phone about this exciting discovery. Professor Ram, how did you capture the Yeti?
We start the expedition, you see, about 1 month ago to go look for the Yeti. We go up in the Himalayas and we are making camp just on K2, just about 4 kilometers from K2 mountain. You know this one?
Yes.
Well, then we are camping there one night, and one of our Sherpa man, he come running down the hill, he say, Yeti coming, Yeti coming. And then we're standing there, we see this big Yeti chasing him. So when my friend, I say, quick, come. And we get one big net, and we put it by the tent, and the Yeti is walking into the net. Very simple.
Is the Yeti wild?
My God, yes, he is very wild. He is livid. He is shaking everything in the cage over there. I don't know what we are going to do, how we are going to get him to Delhi.
Well, why?
He looks very angry.
Well, congratulations, Professor Ram, and thank you for talking to us. I'll leave you now to go off and feed the Yeti. What do you feed him on?
What? I don't know. Yesterday we gave him 2 Sherpas, but maybe today we'll have to cut back.
You're running out of Sherpas?
We're running out of Sherpas, I'm telling you.
So many fabulous faraway places to see, such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri. There's so many exciting and fabulous places, mountains and jungles and desert oases. Sit down in your chair, folks, and I'll take you there, folks. Down, follow me. Since there are so many fabulous faraway places to see, why should Spain and Tahiti and Rio be only just names to you and me? I feel certain there's people you'd be glad to meet there. So switch on your radio and boys, we'll go there. Fabulous, wonderful places you're longing to see, as Bangkok and Hong Kong, Paris and Venice, Tokyo, Cairo, Lisbon and London. Wonderful, fabulous places you're longing to see.
Tom Meyer, the singing host of Sunday's Happy Station that merrily went its own way in the age of the yuppies. For the Dutch, it was a decade of achievement. We scored a number of firsts on the international scene. The national team won the European Soccer Championship for the first time, producing two fabulous heroes in Marco van Basten and Ruud Gullit. Film director Fons Rademakers picked up our first foreign film Oscar for The Assault, and we had our first man in space when Dr. Vuba Ockels joined Skylab to carry out his experiments. How did he get to become an astronaut?
Well, that was almost by chance. I was working as a nuclear physicist, and one of my colleagues found an ad in a newspaper back in 77, which was kind of funny. I mean, somebody asked a scientist to fly in space lab, and he cut it out, put it on a bulletin board, and wrote around, ha, 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 look at this. And I personally thought it could be not a joke, so let me just write a little letter, get some more information. And really from that point on, I just thought, this is my job. And so I just applied, and I kept in a kind of a boy's optimism that I would be selected, and basically that turned out to be true.
In the long term, the greatest Dutch achievement of the 80s, described as the eighth wonder of the world, was the completed Delta project, the massive $2.5 billion storm surge barrier that was a technological wonder and protects the southwestern Netherlands from the North Sea. At its opening in 86, one of the engineers explained its function.
Our government decided in 76 not to close off completely, but to make a storm surge barrier so that in normal conditions the sea still can go in and out of the eastern Schelde, and only when it's real necessary, then we have the possibility to lower the gates, and then we still have safety against floodings.
The Gay Front, our shortwave column for homosexuals and lesbians on Rembrandt Express.
And that was another first for the Netherlands, as this network became the first shortwave service to broadcast a regular column for a visible and vocal minority in our society. The 80s, before the spin doctors and PR men moved in, was a time when one had access to grade A personalities, and Rembrandt Express had its share of exclusives. When Britain and Holland celebrated the tercentenary of William and Mary, marking 300 years of friendship between our two countries, I headed for Kensington Palace and asked the Prince of Wales if it was a friendship that needed revitalising.
You only need revitalising of relations when things have sunk to a particular low, it seems to me. And we've always got on very well. I think we understand each other in a way that perhaps is not always so easy for other European countries. We've been, as you say, friends and allies, I mean, throughout all our history, basically, except for one period in the 17th century when we were both building up trading empires, and inevitably we were going to come into conflict at some point or other. And so we know we get on, so there's no worry.
I was riding in the car months ago, and I heard a song, and I thought it was so pretty. And so I told my secretary to please call the station and find out who was singing that song. They said Barbra Streisand. I mean, this is true. I absolutely forgot that I recorded this song.
Life is a moment in space when the dream is gone. It's a lonelier place. I kiss the morning goodbye, but down inside you know we never know why. The road is narrow and long when eyes meet eyes and the feeling is strong. I turn away from the wall, I stumble and fall, but I give you it all. I am a woman in love, and I do anything to get you.
Not successfully rolled back the frontiers of the state in Britain, only to see them reimposed at a European level, with a European superstate exercising a new dominance from Brussels. Certainly we want to see Europe more united and with a greater sense of common purpose. But it must be in a way which preserves the different traditions, parliamentary powers, and sense of national pride in one's own country.
Speaking in Bruges, 88, Britain's Iron Lady, who dominated British politics, won her Falklands War and was hell-bent on keeping her island out of a united Europe. The end effect simply strengthened the impression on the mainland that the last time Britain successfully entered Europe was D-Day, 1944. As the decade ended, the CD, video, personal computer, MTV, CNN and satellites vastly changed the ways we were informed and entertained. our planet did indeed shrink to a global village. In China, a fledgling pro-democracy movement was mercilessly crushed in Tiananmen Square as the old guard clung to its communist ideology. But in the Soviet Union, a new style leader emerged with his glasnost and perestroika. He began opening the floodgates of freedom and democracy in Eastern Europe.
Socialism втянулся в период глубоких.
Mikhail Gorbachev, who governed an empire that was bankrupt and pragmatically set into motion a wave of hope that engulfed nation after nation in the Eastern Bloc, at a speed that was dizzying, they seized their freedom and dismantled Lenin's myth of a communist utopia. Suddenly, after generations of division, the Cold War was over. And all of it symbolized dramatically on the night of November 9th, 1989, when the notorious Berlin Wall was breached by thousands of East Berliners who simply walked across the border and into their future. It was an electrifying moment of history, and our Dutch reporter was there to capture the euphoria.
Oh God, the mensen breken nou gewoon door de grens heen. Oh God.
Ik kan niet aankomen.
And so the decade of consumption made way for the decade of compassion. And as we headed into the uncertain 90s on an information superhighway that was baffling, Radio Netherlands was set for one last major facelift that would streamline our activities, open the way for new creative personalities, and embark on partnerships that would enhance our position in the world of communication. That story in our final episode.
And next week, we will bring you the final part of our special program looking at the history of Radio Nederland with Piet Myers. You're listening to your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. If you wish to contact me, it's very easy to do. It's as easy as counting. That's presuming you can count. The email address is hs@pcjmedia.com, hs@pcjmedia.com. Time now for music. Here's the phenomenal Matt Monro and Born Free.
As free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Live free, and beauty surrounds you. The world still astounds you. Each time you look at a star, stay free where no walls divide you. You're free as a roaring tide, so there's no need to hide. Born free, and life is worth living, but only worth living 'cause you're born free. As a roaring tide, so there's no need to hide. life is worth living, but only worth living 'cause you're born free.
Yes, Matt Monroe and Born Free. Just a quick program note, I invite you to listen to this week's edition of Media Network Plus. We're going to be joined by Victor Gunatelica to talk about some unusual jamming that's taking place. And then the first in our series of listener-receiver reviews, a guy from the United States, a receiver that we sent him, will be joining us to tell us what he thinks of it. Now, we still have time for one more piece of music, and I thought we'd listen to something a lot of fun. It's the song It Takes a Woman from the musical Hello, Dolly. And this is from the original soundtrack recording of the movie from 1969 that starred Barbara Streisand, Walter Matthau, and Michael Crawford. It Takes a Woman, performed by Walter Matthau.
It takes a woman all powdered and pink to joyously clean out the drain in the sink. And it takes an angel with long golden lashes and soft Dresden fingers for dumping the ashes. Yes, it takes a woman, a dainty woman, a sweetheart, a mistress, a wife. Oh, yes, it takes a woman, a fragile woman, to bring you the sweet things in life. The frail young maiden who's constantly there for washing and blueing and shoeing the mare. And it takes a female for setting the table and weaning the ginsy and cleaning the stable. Yes, it takes a woman, a dainty woman, a sweetheart, a mistress, a wife. Oh, yes, it takes a woman, a fragile woman, to bring you the sweet things in life. And so she'll work until winter, she'll shovel the ice and lovingly set out the traps for the mice. She's a joy and treasure for practically speaking. To whom can you turn when the plumbing is leaking?
To that dainty woman, that fragile woman, that sweetheart, that mistress, that wife,
that womanly wife.
Oh, yes, it takes a woman,
a husky woman,
to bring you the sweet things in life. Oh, yes, it takes a woman, a dainty woman, a sweetheart, a mistress, a wife. Oh, yes, it takes a woman, a friend.
It Takes a Woman, Walter Matthau, our last song for today. Once again, if you wish to contact us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Powell wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.